You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 20th of July 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, Boris Johnson announced yesterday that in September his government will be bringing in vaccine passports for anybody wishing to get into nightclubs. Now, obviously this is aimed at pressuring young people into getting vaccinated, and there's a lot of pushback against this. And I just want to put it on the record right now that I don't think that this is going to happen. And the reason why I don't think it's going to happen is because they will decide that it disproportionately impacts black and minority ethnics, because a lot of them have been refusing to take the vaccine. In actual fact, London has the highest proportion of people refusing to take the vaccine, and they will say that it is discriminating against blacks, and they're not able to go to the nightclubs, they're not able to go to the pubs, they're not able to go to gigs because they haven't taken the vaccine. And they'll say that it's disproportionately affecting them because they are the main ones that haven't taken it. And I think that will be the reason why it doesn't happen. Clearly, it shouldn't happen anyway, because it breaks the law in force medicating people and putting pressure on people to take certain medications, which is against human rights. But they don't seem to care that much about human rights anymore. But what they do care about is racisms. And that is going to be the accusation that is hurled at them, I believe. Well, today I want to talk about the Methodist Church of Great Britain. And this is because the Methodist Church of Great Britain has overwhelmingly backed same-sex marriages taking place in their churches, claiming in the new standing order that marriage can be between any two people. Now, how do they justify this? How can they justify having so-called same-sex marriages taking place in their churches, when, if besides the fact that it's unbiblical and it's unchristian, if you look on the Wikipedia page to find out about the Methodist Church, they say Methodists are historically known for their adherence to the doctrine of non-conformity to the world, reflected by their traditional standards of a commitment to teetotalism, proscription of gambling, regular attendance at class meetings, and weekly observance of the Friday fast. Now, quite clearly from that, they reject the world. They reject conforming to the world. And could there be anything more worldly than same-sex marriage? I mean, it is a modern idea. I would suggest that it's an impossible idea when you actually look at what marriage means, what it was always understood to mean in the past. It meant the consummation of marriage. Once a marriage was consummated, two people were married. And that act of marriage consummation is capable of producing a child. And that was the point of the marriage, was to keep the two people together so that they could produce children, so that the children were brought up in a stable home. From that, there was a ceremony that was devised to go with the marriage, to mark the fact that two people had contracted to stay together for life and to produce children. And gradually over time, the meaning of the word marriage and wedding came to be associated more with the ceremony than with the actual act. And once it had been separated from the act, then of course you could say to people, well, why can't two men get married. It's just a voicing of a commitment in front of witnesses. But of course, that's not actually what marriage is. And when you're looking at the Bible, it's talking about the word marriage with the old understanding of what the word meant. And you would imagine that churches would stand up for Christian teaching rather than just roll over for progressivism, and particularly a church that makes a point of saying that we don't conform to the world, because it tells us in the Bible that we should reject the world, we should reject the ways of the world. And what they're doing here is basically, you cannot get any more worldly, really, than that. The Methodist Church revealed last Wednesday that the conference voted by a large margin, 254 in favour, 46 against, of a resolution stating that it consents in principle to the marriage of same-sex couples on Methodist premises by Methodist ministers. But hang on a minute, doesn't the Bible actually outline what a marriage is? Doesn't it say that a man will leave his parents and he will cleave to a woman? Are they suggesting that one man can cleave to another man? They are completely redefining biology here, if that is what they are saying. I mean, it also says, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And that implies that if you're going to marry somebody, they have to have the same bone structure and they have to have the same flesh colour for it to be a lawful marriage in the eyes of the Lord. And they don't appear to stick to that either. But I would suggest that this is even more scandalous to say that two men can get married together. Of course, legally they can in the eyes of the law. But this is a church. This is a religion, and people are supposed to have the right to practice their religion unimpeded. And it's not saying that the church should deny that people can be married in the eyes of the government, but they shouldn't be honouring that within the church itself. I mean, this is basically subverting the church. Anybody that wishes to join the church that claims that they are married to another man is going against what it says in the Bible. And if they're trying to bring that into the church and to get the church to go along with that, quite clearly what they're doing is subverting the church. I wonder how many of the actual Methodist church congregants support this. I mean, this is overwhelming, isn't it? 254 in favour and just 46 against. Do they really represent the Methodist church members' views in doing this? I doubt very much whether they do. And this tells us that the subversion of the church, it's right at the top. It's infiltrated at the highest points of all the establishment churches now. Papers released show that the standing orders removed reference to the Methodist Church believing that marriage is a gift of God, and altered the phrase that it is God's intention that a marriage should be a lifelong union in body, mind and spirit of one man and one woman to two people who freely enter it, removing the specification of a biblical marriage between one man and one woman. And again, marriage is supposed to be a gift from God. It's supposed to be a sacrament. And what we see in occultism is a reversal of the sacraments. We see what is called a black mass, where they reverse the sacraments. And surely two men engaging together in homosexual sex, that is the antithesis of the gift of God and the sacrament of marriage, which can produce children. It's like the opposite of it. And then to have the church sanctifying that, it's rather like them sanctifying a black mass to be sanctifying a gay marriage. Andrea Williams, chief executive of the campaign group Christian Concern, said in response to the vote, "I am deeply sad to see the Methodist Church lose its way by no longer upholding marriage as God defines it." And I think that she probably speaks for the majority of Christians in the country that do not understand why it is that the church is going against all its traditional teachings. Mrs. Williams continued, "God's plan for sex is one man, one woman, marriage. Every Christian should be ready to believe that God's pattern for our lives is the best way for individuals and society to flourish. Every church denomination, including Methodists and the Church of England, should confidently proclaim this vision rather than mirror the zeitgeist. It's like the church has just become another mouthpiece for the state when the church should be holding the state to account when the state does things that are immoral. And quite clearly, the Christian morality and the pattern that is outlined in the Bible for the way that a society should grow and should conduct itself, that is going to be the most prosperous way for a society to live. It's in tune with nature. Homosexuality is not in tune with nature. If everybody was homosexual, then everybody would die out within one generation. I mean, it's a part of philosophy, isn't it, to say that you should not do things that it would not be okay for everybody else to do. And that is the best way to look at life, really, is to question whether what you're doing is correct and is it good for society. Well, would it be okay if everybody was to do that? Well, if it's not okay for everybody to do that, then you shouldn't be doing it. I mean, people may criticize Christianity, and usually it's because of the church today, but you certainly cannot criticize Christian morals for being the foundation for a secure nation. And when you introduce things like this into it, then it subverts the nation. It weakens the nation, particularly weakens the bonds of family. It's bad enough that we have so many broken families today as it is. I mean, we should, if we're really concerned about children, we should give children a right to have a father and a mother and to be born into a stable family. And we should do all we can to encourage stable families rather than start redefining what marriage means and redefining what family means. The church, which has been in talks with the State's Church of England for years to reunite, then followed the standing order with the confusing statement that within the Methodist Church, this is understood in two ways, that marriage can only be between a man and a woman, and that marriage can be between any two people. So they're basically contradicting one another here. It's a completely neurotic statement. It is cognitive dissonance exemplified, because if you say marriage can only be between a man and a woman, then that means that marriage can't be between any two people. And yet they say here that it means two different things. And this just shows you that what they say doesn't have any importance. It cannot have any importance if what they say just contradicts itself like that. Christian Concerns head of public policy, Tim Dieppe, remarked on the two positions that the Methodist Church decides it doesn't know what marriage is. It has decided to affirm two contradictory views on marriage. If you will affirm a formal contradiction, then you will affirm anything, and you don't really have any convictions. And remember, this is the church that claims that it stands in non-conformity with the world. The Church Times says it has been informed that the first same-sex marriages could take place on church grounds by the autumn of 2021. And I wonder what that means for people, heterosexuals, that do get married in a heterosexual way, and they're getting married in the same place where homosexual marriages are taking place. Does that not negate the fact that they thought that they were getting married in a holy place that was sanctified to God, and yet you've got this going on there, which is really a blasphemy against God? And if the state decrees that homosexuals can get married, then okay, that should be taking place as civil wedding ceremonies. It shouldn't be taking place in the church, and the church should not be expected to condone this. And it's not like the church has been forced to do this by the state. They haven't made a law saying, well, the church has to honour this. These churches have just done that. There's been no pressure on them, really, to do this. Again, it just shows you that these establishment churches are completely subverted from top to bottom. In another resolution, the Methodist Church, backed by a large majority, a wish to celebrate couples living together who are not married. claiming the church had an important calling to point to the presence of God's love within such relationships, doing away with the concept of living in sin. And again, because the original understanding of marriage was the consummation of the marriage, when people used to get married, they just used to write it down in the Bible. If it was written down in the Bible, then they were married. It was who you were sleeping with was who you were married to. And women would be virgins until they got married. If you saw a woman, she was either a virgin or she was somebody's wife or she was a prostitute, basically. So I don't really have that much of a problem with them saying about this this living in sin, because it wasn't really living in sin anyway. Living in sin is to have lots of sexual partners. That's living in sin. But to live with one partner, whether you've had that registered by the state as a marriage or not, that doesn't determine whether it's sinful or not. Fornication is actually sinful, not having a wedding ceremony, for instance. This is not the first left progressive act by the Methodist Church of Great Britain, having already ordained its first transgendered minister in 2017. And this goes directly against what it says in the Bible, because it says he who is wounded in the stones shall not be a part of the congregation, let alone leading the congregation. What they have here is people leading the congregation that are actually transgender, that are confused about their gender. People that are leading the congregation, it tells us in the Bible, they should have already had a family of their own. Now, if you're talking about people that are confused about their gender or that have mutilated their bodies in an attempt to look like the opposite gender, is that really somebody that is qualified to lead a flock? That doesn't really say that you should have much confidence in them, because they're a confused person, aren't they? They're not happy in the body that God gave them. They're trying to get everybody else to affirm the fact that they are actually a different person in the body, and God made a mistake when he was handing the souls out. God made a mistake and gave the wrong gendered soul to the wrong body. So straight away, this idea of ordaining transgenders, again, it just goes against common sense. It goes against all logic, basically, and it's another damning indictment of the church. The Church of England, the official state Church of England and the home of the worldwide Anglican Communion, forbids two people of the same legal sex to get married in their churches, although it continues to come under pressure from LGBT activists and clergy, including the Bishop of Liverpool, Paul Bayes, who recently called for a gender-neutral marriage canon. So, again, this just shows us that when these homosexuals become Christians and they get ordained, what they seek to do then is to subvert the church. They seek to change the church, change the church's teachings to reflect the teachings that they think the church should have. They think they know better than God, basically. Anyone that tries to change Christian traditions is saying, well, we know better than God. If they're going directly against God's laws in the Bible. The move permitting same-sex marriages has formally been in the works since 2019, and while Wednesday's decision could derail the reunion of the Church of England and the Methodist Church of Great Britain, well, I highly doubt that, because the Church of England is just as progressive as the Methodist Church. They just haven't formalised gay marriages yet. The former does already allow those born of the same gender to marry if one has legally changed their identity to the opposite sex. So long as one of them has a piece of paper saying they're the opposite sex, it doesn't actually matter if they are, or if it's in actual fact two men living together. So long as one of them has a piece of paper claiming that they've changed into being a woman, that's perfectly fine. I mean, it's as if we didn't have eunuchs in history. I mean, it's full of eunuchs in history and celibates. And it tells us in the Old Testament, it says that somebody who wears the clothes of the opposite gender, that is against God's commandments. I mean, it is really quite clear. It does mention this transgenderism. It's not as if this wasn't a part of the ancient world, and it was forbidden in the church. And yet today's church thinks that it can just overturn all that. I guess they think that they're so clever now, they're so much more clever than they were in the past, that they know different. Trans people with gender recognition are already able to marry in our churches. Being transgender does not prevent someone offering themselves for ordained ministry. And we have transgender clergy as well as laity. The Church of England had reaffirmed in a statement related to the debate on amending the Gender Recognition Act. And I have done podcasts in the past about transgenderism, where what we've actually had is somebody who was born a man who is dressing as a woman, and someone who is born a woman who is dressing as a man, and they've had children together. And something like that could be recognised by the church, because it's actually a man and a woman together. It's just that they decide to call themselves the opposite, and they decide to live as the opposite. But I'm not sure that that's really what is going on here. What they're saying here is that a man can marry another man, so long as the other man has a certificate saying that he's now a woman. At the same time, the Church of England claims that it will not challenge marriages it has performed if one in the heterosexual couple transitions to the opposite gender, making it, according to the logic of Pink News, a same-sex marriage. And that's what I was just pointing out. If somebody in the couple then decides that they want to live life as the opposite gender, it is still essentially a male and a female together in the eyes of God. And also in the eyes of biology and nature, and if this couple, say, their bodies were found 100 years later, the forensic detectives would also tell you that it was a man and a woman. They wouldn't say that it was a man and a man. The head Anglican Church is also keen to celebrate a congregant's sex change, with the House of Bishops advising clergy to use the affirmation of baptismal faith to mark gender transitions, and has expressed in very liberal terms its teachings on the fluidity of gender, claiming that God is gender neutral and that children at Church of England schools should be free to explore their gender identity. So, okay, how can you celebrate this? How can you celebrate the fact that somebody is confused about their gender, that somebody believes that the wrong soul was put into their body? Or why would you celebrate this? I mean, we should really be pitying these people and doing all that we can to help them, not celebrating the fact that they're not happy within their own bodies. It's a tragedy. It's not something that should be celebrated. And what that has to do with the baptismal faith, I don't know. It doesn't have anything to do with the baptismal faith, other than they're actually going against what Christian teachings are, and yet because they want to be Christian, they still want to be Christian, even though they're going against Christian teaching. So what they seek to do is to get the church to pretend that it's okay, because that's what's going on. If this goes against what it says in the Bible, then the church is just pretending to say that it's okay. And these poor people that are gender confused, they believe that if the church says it's okay, well, it must be okay. But in actual fact, if they are genuine Christians, there must be a small part of them that knows that what they're doing is not actually okay. And what they're really doing is getting everybody else to join them in misinterpreting what it says in the Bible and changing it. Sort of like safety in numbers. If all of us are going against what God taught, then we can't all be punished for that, surely. I guess it's that sort of a mentality at play here. Nigel Farage recently criticised the Church of England for failing to defend the sanctity of marriage when the Bishop of Manchester expressed more concern over Matt Hancock breaking social distancing rules when he was caught kissing his aide than by the fact that two married people were having an affair. And I think that I pointed this out at the time, that the fact it was an affair didn't seem to bother anybody, and they were just concerned about the social distancing. It was like the incident last year when there was a popular breakfast TV host that came out as homosexual. And he came out as homosexual because there was a young lad, a teenager, who was apparently his boyfriend, who was about to spill the beans. And this breakfast television presenter had actually been married for decades. He'd been married for decades. and he had children. And instead of saying, well, this is absolutely scandalous that you come out as homosexual because it means you've been cheating on your wife, you've been breaking the sanctity of marriage, everybody was praising him for coming out as a homosexual. It's like the sanctity of marriage is just something of the past. It's not something that people are concerned about anymore. And again, a symptom of that is the fact that we now think that two men can actually marry one another. Nigel Farage said, I know the church is full of all sorts of oddballs, but if the Church of England cannot stand up and defend the sanctity of marriage, I wonder what the point of it is. And that's a very good point to make, because the church should be challenging all these policies that actually go against Christianity. What is the church if it's not going to represent Christian teaching, if it's not going to stand for Christian teaching and point out when the state goes against the Christian teaching? What is the point of it? Why is it there? Is it just to make people that are actually breaking the Christian teachings feel a little bit better by telling them that God actually says it's okay because God's representative on earth, that the priest tells them that it's okay? Surely in their heart of hearts they know that must be wrong, and that the church is going against these teachings. And why would people that are breaking the teachings of the church then wish to change the teachings of the church? I mean, it's God. He's supposed to be eternal. These laws that he makes are eternal laws. They're supposed to last for all time. It's no good saying, well, we know better now. We're more intelligent now than we were in the past. We know more from science. Because you don't know what the end result of all of this is going to be. And the sort of results that we can see happening now are the scandalization of children by teaching them that homosexual marriage is just the same as heterosexual marriage. And we now see that we have children as young as five that are being taught about homosexuality. We now have the drag queen story hour and the rainbow dildo butt monkey story hour. And God knows where it's going to head after that, what we're going to end up with after that. Things just get worse and worse, and all of that is the knock-on effect of the weakening of our Christian traditions. Britain and the whole of Europe were built upon Christian traditions and Christian morality. That is what made it such a great civilization. That's what made European countries the envy of the rest of the world. That's why these other peoples from the third world, that's why they want to come into our countries, because we have law and order. And the reason why we have law and order is because our law systems and common law and everything else was all based upon Christian morality. And that's where the authority came from to enforce the law as well. God made these laws. God put these people in charge, the monarchy, and they are God's representative on earth. And that's where the authority comes from to enforce these laws. So if you're then going to say, well, actually, we know better than God, we're going to change the law and make it against what God says, then you lose all your authority. Who is it that gave you the authority to do this? And they will now say, well, we have democracy. It's the people that gave us the authority to do this. But I don't think the people supported all of this. The Conservative Party didn't stand on a platform of legalizing gay marriage when they were voted in. It was just something that David Cameron did. All the governments around the world just suddenly did it, all around about the same time in the Western world. They just suddenly forced this through. And then since then, we've had a barrage of propaganda trying to convince people that it's okay, and we've had all this propaganda aimed at children. And now we see that more and more children are claiming to be homosexual before they're even at the age where they can legally have sex and find out. It's scandalous, and it can all be traced back to the weakening of Christian traditions, and the very people that should be standing in the way of that, the very people that should be speaking as loudly as possible and denouncing what the state are doing as being anti-Christian, they're the ones cheerleading for this. They're the ones that are creating celebrations for this in the church. The establishment churches may be all co-opted, but at least we do still have the original scriptures, and those of us who read them can still hold fast to the original faith, and we can find others online that do the same. It's not like everything is lost. It's just that the mouthpieces for the establishment church, they are all corrupted. And sadly, now the Methodist Church has gone along that route as well. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.